Right? You know, even Adam and Eve, they were expecting, they were looking forward, and they hoped for day to come. Because they knew, they were told that one day God would be made flesh, human being, and come to save them. So when Eve was expecting her first child, they thought, and they could even imagine, they were excited. Could this be our Savior? Could this be the one who God is sending to save us from sin? And time passed. And Enoch, he could see in vision the coming of the Messiah. You know, God brought prophets and kings from all sorts of life in his people that was preaching about the coming of the Messiah, the Savior King. And everybody was excited, waiting, and generation after generation, they were expecting the Messiah to come. But time passed. Generation came and generation was gone. And the Messiah didn't come. So God's people, who was in charge, who was given the privilege of passing on the torch, who was expecting, God gave them the responsibility to take this message to the whole world. Their light started fading. Their eagerness to expect the Messiah was kind of lost amidst all the life busyness. And soon they started losing their mission. And not only that, I believe that, you know, even among the Gentiles of other nations, there were people that believed that God had to send His only begotten Son. And they were expecting to see the star that would appoint the birthplace of the King that would come to save not only the Jews, but would come to save the whole world. God had those faithful children all around, all nations. And as idolatry start to grow more and more, and people start to changing the truth of God for their own conceptions and thoughts, that very image of God start fading and disappearing from humans. And God's people forgot that they had to be prepared. Can you just imagine God looking from heaven, looking down and see that the time that was appointed from even before the world was created, God had set the time, the date, the moment, the place, the parents, the circumstances, everything was planned even before God took the initiative to create our earth. It was done. So God's watch was ticking, and the time was getting closer and closer, and people that should be even more prepared start to losing focus of this great event. Jesus himself before the incarnation, how he could look down to earth and see that humans were not expecting his birth. And know who was very excited about that and who was very happy about that? Do you know who was that? The enemy, Satan. And Satan was in charge of bringing so much misery upon the earth. He was in charge of, you know, erasing from humans' memory and their bodies, their soul, the image of God. It was his intent to make human beings emerge in idolatry and their own confusions as much as possible. So God, he expected God would look down at this earth and be so enraged, so disappointed that he would give up on us. That was his intent. He said, I will bring so much misery, and I will bring these humans to forget their creator and to worship the creation, to worship themselves, and that God will look at them with disgust and he would give up in his plans to rescue them. And it seemed for a moment that Satan was winning the battle. It seemed that it came to a point in human history that human beings was so far beyond hope. But that was the moment. That is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, if you go with me once more. Galatians chapter 4. And start in verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, that was the moment. The fullness of time was not just because, you know, the world was united under one government. It was not only because the world was united under one language. It was not because the world was united through roads and venues that would connect to one another. It was not only because the God's people had been spread all over the world, and every year they would come to worship and to have their festivities in Jerusalem. Of course, there would be a tool in God's hand to use to spread the gospel. Yes. But the fullness of time came when, before the universe, before the unfalling world, they would look down at us, human beings, and they were expecting God to put an end and say, how much more will God wait in order to destroy human beings because they're hopeless? God has given them his commandments, expression of his character. God has given them in symbols the plan of salvation. But what did they have done? Instead of pointing to the Savior, the lamb that was being slain, it became the method of salvation itself. How could that happen? What is God waiting? When all the universe, the angels, was looking and see and questioning and hoping, what will God do? That moment, God stepped down on this earth. When everything was darkness, when all things were hopelessness, He became flesh. There was no way that the church, God's church, Israel, could fulfill its mission. There was no more hope that the church, Israel, would proclaim the gospels for other nations. They locked up the doors. They were so proud of their own religion that they didn't want to share. They didn't want to invite others to receive the blessings. They thought that the blessings were just for them. That's what Paul is saying here. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he said, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, the only hope human beings could have. The only way God would be able to fulfill His plans to save you and me." That is what we should think about Christmas. I just want to read something for you here about Christmas. And it says this: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. It's wonderful, right? God sent us a Savior because this is our greatest need. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't expect that God's people would save us. We can expect that anything but Jesus Christ Himself, He would be the only one to save us, to bring us salvation. That is so important. So when the fullness of time, when human beings were at the brink of no return, if God would wait one more minute, you and I would be hopeless. But at that exact time, Jesus was born for you. This is the greatest gift of all. You know, there's a story on a December of 1903. That after many attempts, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground and into the air at Kitty Hawk. thrilled over the accomplishment, they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. We have actually flown 120 feet. They were excited about that. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine heard and hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, "How nice! The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news. For the first time in human history, men had flown. My question this morning is, are we missing the big picture? Are we missing the big picture? In this world that we live in, you know, that we have so much technology, that we have so much science, that we are in the time of information, that we can communicate, you know, in real time with someone the other side of the world, that we can fly more than 10 hours nonstop, 15 hours nonstop to the other side of the world. Are we missing the big picture? Let me say this, and I say it very careful. God's people, Israel, they missed the picture. They missed the big picture. Because Jesus came. And they that had all the prophecies and the prophets and the message, and when Daniel, 500 or more years before the birth of Jesus, God gave him the prophecy that would say the exact time when the Messiah would come and die for them. They had that in their books. They missed the big picture. They were not prepared when Jesus came. Are we missing the big picture? Are we allowing, church, the busyness of life, the desire for self-gratification, the desires, you know, to look nice, to appear beautiful, the desire to have more and more, is taking that from us, that we are missing the big picture. The same Savior, the same one who was born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. And you say, wow, 2,000 years? And he didn't come yet? What he's waiting for? Remember when the first time the promise was given, they had to wait about 4,000 years for it to be fulfilled. But it was. No matter how long it takes, the God who gave the promise, he will fulfill. And he said, he himself said, I will come back again. And my desire is that we don't miss the big picture. You know, Jesus is coming again. And in order to be ready, we must be sharing this hope. In order to be ready, we must put again and set our priorities of our lives. I know that each one of us here, we all do have dreams, and we all have plans, and we all expect to accomplish great things on earth. But nothing should take the place of our preparedness for Jesus' second coming. And what can testify that He's coming again is that He came and He fulfilled His promise of coming and being born as a human being in Bethlehem. So my prayer today is that each one of us here, we get ready. Just like Israel was living in the fullness of time, let me tell you, you and I, we are living in the fullness of time. Prophecies and signs given by our Lord Jesus and the prophets appointed this time where you and I, we are living in. That Jesus will come these days. I don't want anyone here, and I want to make that an invitation for you and I to be ready when He appears in the clouds of heaven. He's not gonna come as a little baby anymore. He's not going to come and walk upon this earth as He did before. But He's coming in the clouds of heaven. And we that are waiting for this event, for this amazing and glorious event, we will meet Him in the air. And this time, I want you to think about that. Take this season. Take this time to think, to recommit your life to Him. Surrender to Him again. And make that the priority of your life, to be ready when He comes. That we will be with the Lord forever. So we will not have to come and go. Right? We will never think about saying hello and never saying goodbye. But we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. Let's take the moment to prepare for the second greatest event on human history. The return of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. This is my prayer. But one thing is for sure, we will meet again. We will be together forever. And I want to see each one of you there. I want to see each one of you. So don't let anything get between you and Jesus. This is my prayer. Amen.